It was a place where a man could start over, where a fortune could be made. They say every town has a story. Tombstone has a legend.
Who is he?
That's Wyatt Earp. Made a name for himself as a peace officer.
I heard of you.
I'm retired.
You must be Doc Holliday. You retired too?
Not me. I'm in my prime.
Hollywood Pictures presents...
The only real law around here is the cowboys.
The story of Wyatt Earp.
The first time in our lives we got a chance to stop wandering and finally be a family. Now this is trouble we don't need.
If we're gonna have a future in this town, it's gotta have some law and order.
What do you want, Ringo?
I want your blood. I want your soul. I want them both right now.
They shot your brother.
Now the time has come for justice.
Guess maybe you better swear me in.
And he has to live up to his reputation.
You got a fight coming.
I'll be there!
One last time.
None of your problem, Doc. You don't have to mix up in this.
That is a hell of a thing for you to say to me.
In a battle.
The last charge of Wyatt Earp and his immortals.
At the OK Corral.
Oh, my God.
The West would never forget. Kurt Russell, Val Kilmer, Dana Delaney, Powers Booth, Michael Biehn, Bill Paxton, Jason Priestley, Sam Elliott, and Charlton Heston.
You tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me!
Justice is coming to Tombstone.
All right, welcome back to our episode of Back to the Movies. I'm Ted Flynn from the Tailgate Side. This is episode 10 of Back to the Movies, a movie podcast in which we talk about movies that maybe one of us hasn't seen or a bunch of us have not seen in a very long time. I am Ted Flynn. I'm joined by Jake Voss and Sean Tez Festerman. You can find us on iTunes, iHeart, and Spotify. Look at that. Didn't mention they killed Stitcher. Stitcher, never forget Stitcher. Miss it greatly. Find us on tailgatesociety.com. Find us on any podcast of a choice. Just type in the Tailgate Society. You'll find us underneath Back to the Movies. We just discussed Goodfellas and a few others, but tonight we're going to discuss 1993's Tombstone, a movie that, like, I feel like most people have seen, but then I've talked to a few people that have never seen Tombstone. That's fine. Like, I mean, I feel like it's one of those movies I've seen, but like, I mean, it's because, like, I think males of a certain age. And then that's, I mean, it's sexist, but like, dude, I'm just gonna stop. I'm already digging a hole. I'm just saying, like, people of a certain age and background, Tombstone was like in their lexicon. It was on cable a lot. You know, it's in the backstory. Like, I don't know if Jake and Sean know the backstory behind Tombstone. We're gonna get into it in a little bit. It is the backstory alone.
This movie is exactly why we're doing this podcast the way that we are, because I had never seen this movie.
You'd never seen Tombstone?
I had never seen Tombstone.
That's wild.
I know many things about Tombstone and lots of references to Tombstone.
You let us toss out two other movies to vote on when one of the movies you have never seen.
It's kind of the point of the podcast. We would get to it eventually, yeah.
I feel like we wouldn't have a vote. If you just would have said, I've never seen Tombstone, then we wouldn't have just picked Tombstone.
It's fine. We let the people vote. We got Tombstone.
The people got it right. It's okay.
Oh, I'm going to have fun with this one. All right. But as always, if you're just here to listen to Jake and Sean and I just, you know, and talk about a movie and go through it and go through our categories, et cetera, and you have never seen this, we're going to get the point where 90 seconds or less, we're going to spoil the shit out of this movie. But before we do that, I have to spin the wheel. Let me stretch my back. Don't need it seasoned up. Get the do a few squats here. The wheel is huge. You guys can't see it on the podcast. This thing is easily 6 foot tall. It's right behind me. It makes the Price is Right wheel look pathetic.
Like a fidget spinner, yeah.
Like if people saw me with this wheel, they would assume I have the tiniest dick in the world. All right.
Now we know why those knees are so bad.
Well, you know, this wheel takes some effort. All right, so here we go. We're going to spin. All right, cracking the knees and go. I was kind of a weak spin. My knee's bad. All right, my knee's been bad for a little bit. That's why the spin was so shitty tonight. Jake, not your turn because you went last time. And obviously the wheel has a name in front of me. Sean, this is your movie. Sean, in 90 seconds or less, spoil the shit out of 1993's Tombstone.
All right. Tombstone is all about Wyatt Earp and his brothers, Morgan and Virgil, moving to Tombstone, Arizona. The whole, you know, they're retired from, they're all former, you know, deputies or some sort of lawmen, but they're retired and they're just looking to go into business. They don't want to do the law stuff anymore. So they moved to Tombstone, which is a mining town. You know, it's filled with drinkers, gamblers, the whole old West story. People causing problems, but that's just what the town is. They come in, they, you know, immediately Wyatt sets up he takes over the gambling in the local saloon, and they're, you know, they win some stuff. They're owning part of a mine. They're doing all of this and business is good, but the local hooligans, the cowboys, start raising some issues. The Curly Bill, the leader of the cowboys, kills the local marshal. So we got a problem. After that, the other Earps that aren't Wyatt, Virgil and Morgan, step up to kind of be deputies to run the town. And they're just not getting along with the cowboys. A lot of tiffs, arguments, things like that. Eventually comes to a head at the shootout at the OK Corral.
You might have heard of that one.
It's sort of an important one. So you have that where it's also a little bit of cowards on the cowboy side that we'll dive into. And then the Earps are kind of proving their point, you know, that they're there to stay. The cowboys do sort of take their revenge. They, on a stormy night, they kill Morgan, shoot him in the back when he's just playing a lovely game of pool. They get Virgil. They shoot him, don't kill him, but and then Wyatt just goes on whole rampage mode and he's ready to kill everybody. And we haven't even touched on Doc Holliday, who's just around instigating everything in this. And ultimately puts a bullet right in Johnny Ringo's forehead. But it's all about revenge from a couple of guys who just wanted to make some money in a little mining town. But these guys said the cowboys had to pick problems with the fastest guns and the deadliest guns in the West.
Right. Like,
and they've all got quips. Everybody's got quips and lines and just, oh boy, I can't wait to dive into those. Top to bottom. I have so many.
Well, we always lead with the podcast for earliest memories of this movie, or when did you see this movie the first time? And considering Jake just watched this is interesting. So, like, Jake, we'll leave you. I know you had a know of this movie. Like, I'm sure you. Like,
oh, I've ideas. Known. I've known of Tombstone for a long time. One of my best friends would probably kick me in the dick if I was standing in front of him and I said that I had still never seen it until today. So yeah, I mean, I don't know, like, kind of like anything else that was pop culture-y, pretty popular.
Well, did come out the year you were born. You were 7 months old when this.
Yeah, but it's just like a lot of the movies that, you know, I haven't seen
six or whatever, months old,
hadn't seen for a long time, or still haven't seen, or haven't seen until we podcast on them. It's, I've known about the movie, and I know, you know, I know who's in it, and I know like lines and quotes and famous stuff about the movie. And I've known forever. I just had never actually sat down and watched it. So I don't know. About 10 years old, I knew what Tombstone was. I don't know.
Was there something in the initial watch tonight that, like, caught you off guard, or it was out of order, or, like, you're like, that's that happened now? I thought that was the end, or I thought that was the beginning. Like, anything like that at all?
I don't think there was anything that that really surprised me when you're talking about the order of things happening or whatever, anything like that. No, I don't think there was anything that really caught me off guard.
So, Sean, you picked it. Sean, you nominated this movie, like, for our poll. Like, what is, like, what is your, like, background with this one? Like, what is, what?
So, I mean, this is a movie, my dad's just a huge, watches Westerns all the time. Like, I grew up, he always had, back in the day, I don't know if it still exists, there used to be, if you had a subscription to Stars when you had cable, again, we're diving way back into this, and there's going to be another cable reference here in a second. But if you had Stars, Stars specifically had a Western channel.
Yes, they did.
Stars. My dad watched that stuff all the time. I've watched, it's because of my dad's how the reason I've watched basically any Clint Eastwood movie that's ever existed, and especially Tombstone. We always watched Tombstone.
Rio Bravo of John Wayne. Yeah,
and Tombstone was just one that it was on. It started being on a lot on cable in, you know, late 2000s, early 2010s, stuff like that, because it got just to the point.
Just catching strays here, but all right, yeah, go ahead.
But it was, I mean, it was me and my dad would randomly, like when I was in college and even shortly after college and stuff like that, me and my dad would randomly just text each other, hey, Tombstone's on. Like it'd be 3:30 in the afternoon and I'd be sitting in a comp class at DMAC and I'd just get a text from my dad, hey, Tombstone's on. So like I've probably
did you get up and movie. Walk out to go watch Tombstone when he
a
you?
Couple times just like, hey, I gotta bounce. It's Tombstone's on, man.
Sorry, got better plans.
I've probably legitimately watched this movie just with my dad 15, 20 times. I've probably seen this movie 50 times. It is one of the most watched movies I've ever watched in my life.
Right.
And I still absolutely adore it and love it. You know, like I had posted on Twitter today of just, I started the movie and I was walking around and I was half paying attention and half just quoting the lines as they came out. Like, I love this movie, man.
There's two or three times this movie, I quoted it as it was happening.
Yeah.
It's been a minute since I've sat down and watched it. Like, so I was talking to someone earlier, but like Tombstone and Stargate were the first two VHS tapes I bought with my own money. VHS tapes.
Yeah.
My own money was Tombstone and Stargate. And not even thinking now, like they both have Kurt Russell in them. But like that was like I was at like a Sam's Club or something with my parents, and they were there for like 2 for $10 or 2 for $20. And I had $20. I'm like, those are coming home.
Getting those, yeah.
I don't think I ever bought a VHS tape.
Why? Because you're a fucking youth, and that's
just
fine.
Saying, I don't think I ever bought one.
I think
I got sure plenty of them and watched plenty of them, but I was not old enough to buy them.
You know, allowance yet. All right.
I'm pretty sure if I walked into my parents, if I went through my parents' basement, there's a Tombstone VHS there somewhere.
Right. Had that kick-ass font on the side of it, like the brown and the Tombstone going up it.
Yeah. Like it's like the burned out, almost papyrus. This.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. The wanted poster.
The wanted poster. Yeah. And it was when we selected this, I sat there and I just went, I'm 99% sure I own this on Amazon Prime. Like, I'm not positive, but, and I scrolled back, it is the second movie I ever bought on Amazon Prime.
I watched it on Peacock.
The first one was Big Hero 6. So those are my two first movies I ever bought on Amazon Prime.
I don't know what they're for. I'll have to go look now.
So you watched it on Peacock?
Yeah, and it kept doing commercial breaks. About commercial breaks, it's fucking annoying.
I watched it on
Hulu. I should have
off of, yeah, it was Disney Plus, but it's from Hulu.
I should have watched on Hulu because, like, Prime kept.
I don't know. I don't know. All right. So, all right. Now, since we're talking about two different places you watched it, did Peacock remove any scenes from the movie that you caught?
I bet Disney did.
So I know there's one because, and the only reason I know, when we were sitting here doing the intro to this, the trailer was playing on IMDb.
Is it when for sure there is one?
Is it when he sticks the gun in the guy's mouth at the opium den?
No, that happened.
No, it's when they drag the body.
Nope. Oh. That was on there.
Ooh, when, the drag the body one gets cut out of the TV.
So
one
when he's else. With when he's with
when Yondu dies,
Josie. No, when he's with Josephine in the like when they first run off on the horses together.
All right.
There's at least a very short clip of them, like getting intimate.
No, it's not. Not that's not in the movie. I watched tonight.
Oh, really? It's on this trailer that plays.
No, they sit there on the blanket and then he walks away.
Okay, yeah. No, that's what happened on what I watched, but I can send you a screenshot.
Right? I believe you. It's just no, they definitely never touched.
Okay,
you.
Okay. So maybe they just that just didn't make the actual whatever later cut right. or something.
No, that
okay.
Never so it's like then. The it's like the trailer from Major League. Where they dropped the
I thought I was just gonna like or any Avengers or whatever
any but. Avengers trailer. I did watch Deadpool 2 with my son on Disney, and I didn't realize until later they cut out the Fred Savage parts. So I've forgotten it since I've watched Deadpool Pool in a long time. Deadpool 2 in a minute. But yeah, this movie, like I said, I had on VHS. Like it was just in my group of friends. This would have been like when we were 16 or 17. I mean, it came out in 93. I'm not that old, but like this is like a Friday night after people left. The party or laughter we have left people over and I left. I was like, oh yeah, putting Tombstone in. You know, we're gonna watch it. And like I have seen Wyatt Earp. So like for those who don't know, for you youngins, so Kevin Costner was attached to this movie. He was gonna be Wyatt Earp, and then him and the studio got into it and he quit. And that's why he made his own Wyatt Earp movie. That came out 6 months after this one. And I have not seen that movie in a long time. And I'm going to say this one time, and we're not going to discuss any longer because I'm not going to have either one of you talk shit to me. But Dennis Quaid is Doc Holliday in that.
Oh.
And an argument could be made that he's better than Val Kilmer. And I'm going to move on from that statement.
I mean, I would be very interested to see the version that has those two in Tombstone.
So Wyatt Earp is just, it's his whole life, and Tombstone is just a spot.
Yeah.
And this movie's like Armageddon, Deep Impact, or Dante's Peak, Volcano. Like, they came out at the same time, around the same time, but obviously Tombstone won and got out first. But one thing about this movie is, like, the director got fired from this movie a weekend. And he was some screenwriter that, like, basically, like, George Costanza himself into the job. And a weekend in the job, they're like, you don't have, no.
Nope.
And so the guy that's listed as a director directed First Blood 2 with Rambo, First Blood, a couple other movies of Stallone. And then when he died, it came out that Kurt Russell was like, yeah, I directed that movie.
Yeah, just Kurt Russell just took it over. Yeah.
No, he didn't take it over because basically they hired this guy because Kurt Russell was friends with Stallone, who did Ting on Cash. And Stallone was like, hire this guy. He'll do whatever you want to do. He'll do whatever you want to tell him to do. But Kurt Russell's like, I don't want my name on this in case it's shit.
Mm.
So then when the guy died, it all came out. So like, but the guy told Russell, right. Yeah, he don't shit on me when I'm alive. Like the guy that is listed as director. But yeah, Kurt Russell directed this movie, more or less. And I just think it's a fun ass story. Like, we're going to let you get the residues. We're going to let you all the checks for this shit. But once you're dead, we're going to just be like, motherfucker, that guy was garbage. Like, you know, like
yeah, real nepotism shit, basically. Just like I got a buddy who just, boy, you could really use the work.
Stallone just like he'll do whatever you want to do. That's just the ultimate gig, right? Getting paid to be a director, just letting Kurt Russell boss around all day, like in. Like, what do I sign up on that? Imagine you got paid, right? Like,
yeah, I assume there was some sort of check cut. Like, yeah, I don't know if they may have done stuff as far as just like, yeah, man, you're not getting residuals. Like, you're not getting anything extra. We'll give you just a base salary. Like, that is what it is. But
man, you want to talk about somebody whose portfolio I probably need to watch a lot more of. Yeah, Kurt Russell's like early stuff.
Dude, every like 10 years, he's in something that's just amazing.
Yeah, because like I until whenever I knew Kurt Miracle. Russell as, yeah, probably Miracle.
Captain Ron.
Yeah, I mean, just like stuff that came out after I was like really watching movies. And then every once in a while, I'll watch one of these movies where it's like, oh, yeah, this is him, you know, in his 80s, 90s prime, whatever that
Oh my God, he's in all these Fast and Furious movies. What are we
doing? No, he shows up in number 7. Yeah,
he's Mr. Whatever.
Nobody.
Mr. Nobody.
Number 8. Not number 7. It's after Walker's dead. Is he in 7?
It's 7.
Yeah, it says he's in 7. I have never seen any of those.
He's also in The Thing. He's in Escape from New York. He's from Miracle. He's in Hateful Eight.
I like Kurt Russell. I just have not gone back and explored nearly probably as much of his earlier like 80s, 90s stuff as
I should watch Captain Ron with the kids. I bet they'd like that fucking movie. I remember liking it when I was a kid. So,
but anyway, sorry. That was just a.
Well, let's talk about that. So, like, Kurt Russell he's a dude. He's a very famous dude.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I don't understand why he didn't become like the guy ever. Like he never like became like.
Yeah, he never caught the like. The Costner thing, like later or whatever.
You could say that Val Kilmer is a bigger star than him, but probably not. Like, who? Like Val Kilmer got like probably had a higher high, right? Heat, Top Gun, this movie.
You got obviously. To be Batman for a movie. Yeah. I mean, it's
and people shit on that Batman, but it's. I bet if we went back and watched it's fine. I think people like combine the George Clooney Batman with Batman Forever.
That was probably the first Batman I ever watched. Was Batman Forever with Clooney?
No, yeah, Batman Robin is with Clooney.
Or sorry, I mean Batman, the Clooney one, whichever one.
Kurt Russell's in. He's obviously in a bunch of very good movies, but it is some of them where it's just like he's just not.
Well, he you know, late, the later guy, on, yeah, later on, he just did a lot of like not main
supporting character. Roles. Yeah,
that's what I'll go Costner to bat for breakdown.
Costner would be the one where I'm like, I think if he wanted to, or maybe if he took different roles, or I don't know exactly what the cause of it is, but he could have been a lot more like Costner, like coming up to today.
I
like,
think
Costner's
the biggest...
still doing the like Yellowstone and stuff, right? Like he's still doing it.
No, he's still super famous. But like, yeah. I think what comes out of Russell is like, I like Kurt Russell. I like Kurt Russell a lot. I'll go with a bat for Breakdown. It's a great little thriller, but he's not funny. Like, is it not? He doesn't have like. I mean, maybe Captain Ron, but really, like, he's not like. He doesn't have that. Yeah. He doesn't have that in his bag, right? Like the quick one-liners, like the, even Snake Plissken isn't funny, right? He kind of is. He's just more an asshole.
It's more of the tough guy,
very straight laced tough guy, is
arrogant sort of carrying yourself and, I don't. He just. Apparently, maybe just doesn't have that side to him where he can deliver a joke in some way.
Yeah, does he have any, that's an interest, and I keep thinking about Costner, like comparing him to Costner, does he have anything where he's like charismatic while also being like this tough?
Kevin Costner?
No. Russell.
I mean, the only thing I can think of is like Captain Ron, but it's been fucking a decade.
But that's what I'm saying. I think that might be the difference in why Kurt Russell ended up the way he is. Like Costner can turn it on and just be.
But then, and then you look at it, it's what in the, I'm just looking at his IMDb.
I'm gonna go look at this.
In 2018 and 2020, he's Santa Claus in 2 movies. Like,
what? Dude, all right, we're not gonna shit on the Christmas Chronicles. I've seen parts of them.
I'm not shitting on him. I just haven't ever seen those movies. And it's weird to watch. Yeah, just you've got, you know, Escape from LA, Escape from New York, Tombstone, you've got Stargate, you've got all this stuff in the 90s, Soldier. Even if it's right, and then do whatever this role is in the Fast and Furious franchise.
Like the bad guy, then organizer,
Ego in the Guardians of the Galaxy, and then you're just Santa Claus for 2 movies. All right, but it's good on you.
Honestly, he turns it on a little bit as Ego. Like that might be the most I've ever seen him turn on like the anything other than just like tough guy, like try and turn on some charisma.
I hated the Hateful Eight, and that just left a sour fucking taste in my mouth. Sky High. He's good in Sky High.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
And I'm Big Trouble in Little China. That's the one we fucking missed. That's the biggest one. And Backdraft. You know, like he's
good. He made good movies, and he is good. I was trying. I think the charisma thing, or the range charisma, whatever you want to call it, I think that's probably the difference between someone like him and Costner.
Right.
If I had to try and find something.
Well, Costner's just, I mean, I like Kurt Russell, but Costner's a fucking movie star.
Like, that's what I'm trying to like say is like the difference between Kurt Russell and Costner being just a complete movie star is Costner can.
That being said, I don't think Costner can do this movie. Like this version with these actors, with this, I don't see Costner the Kilmer. I don't think it hits. I think like they are just a perfect foil for each other.
Like, you might be right. I would just be curious to see it. That's all I was really on.
Yeah. And there's definitely a way that, there's a way, because obviously it's a Wyatt Earp movie, because obviously everybody knows Wyatt Earp, but it is centered around the brothers and the way him and Bill Paxton and Sam Elliott all act together, it does feel very almost natural and give and take. I think they work really well together. They play off each other decently. Like there's definitely some moments where Bill Paxton is the worst of the three, but like you can tell he's trying, and I'll give him credit for that.
Let's just go through this cast real quick. I tweeted this out tonight earlier while I was like walking the dog. Let's go through this cast real quick. And it's a who's who of famous white dudes in the mid 90s. All right.
Yeah, for sure.
Early 90s. Kurt Russell, Val Kilmer, Sam Elliott, Bill Paxton, Powers Booth, Michael Benn, Charlton Heston, Jason Priestley, Stephen Lang, Thomas Hayden Church, just in this fucking movie for some reason. Yeah, Michael Rooker, yep. Fucking Yondo, and everything else. Billy Bob Thornton in a fucking small ass role.
You know what's funny is so
Billy Zane.
Billy Zane. Yeah, there's a bunch of and I don't recognize like immediately recognize some of those names, but like most of them I do.
Who don't you recognize? Is it Michael Benn? Bien?
No, I think it's Bean. Right. No, I recognize that. It's like Charlton Heston. No, I do Jason Priestley.
You don't know fucking Ten Commandments?
No.
You don't know the spokesperson of the NRA?
Planet of the Apes.
I'm just telling you, like those are the name. Like, there's a couple.
Charlton
of
Heston is very
like,
much a
completely just
70s right off. That's all right. I'm literally my beard is turning gray. Him not knowing Jason Priestley, and that's just fine.
But what I'm gonna say Priestley is kind of like makes this better. The fact that I don't recognize those people right away is I didn't recognize Michael Rooker until he talked later in the movie.
Well, he had a baby face in this.
He has like, yeah, like young and like the hair. And I was like, as soon as he talked, I was like, holy shit, that's Michael Rooker. I didn't even notice.
Stephen Lang is the one that's the most like invisible in this movie. He plays Ike. He's also a villain in Avatar. The dude that you have all seen Avatar, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he's that guy. And like, it's amazing that's the same actor.
And then like Billy Bob, I recognized like right away, but he was talking and I was like, oh my God, you're muted, Sean.
We got chubby Billy Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was going to say, yeah, the Billy Bob is sort of the one that like you really hear him before you see him
talking. That was the thing.
And then it cuts to him and you're like, oh, holy shit.
Yeah.
Apparently,
I guess 35 years
like I said,
ago,
as soon as Billy
Bob looked
as
like.
Soon as Michael Rooker spoke, I was like, oh, God, that's who it is. I notice it now, but
apparently Billy Bob improvised his entire fucking lines.
Oh, I don't doubt that for a second. There's a few of these in here where people are going on where you're just like, I feel like they just kind of let him go on this one and see, you know, what's going to come out of somebody's mouth on this, especially like some of them with Doc Holliday where Val Kilmer goes.
Yeah.
There's some of those where I think they're just like, I think they let that dude just play it cook. And
let
see what would happen. Yeah,
as Generation Z would say, let him cook. Billy Bob's part is definitely like my most like underrated. Like we're gonna start doing quotes at some point. We might as well start out. Is my underrated quote part when he's just like talking to him, like, "Are you gonna do something or just sit there and bleed?
You're just gonna stand there and bleed? Yeah.
What's he say when he's like, pull that skin rocket or some shit, or like
I've got it here somewhere in my giant list. Skin that smoke wagon and see what happens. Like, and then he smacks the shit out of him three times in a row.
These are all quotes that I've heard and had people like use, and I understood them and where they come from. Just I had never watched it, which was great to like actually watch it. And
you were literally the Leonardo meme from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the most.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Pull that, skin that, whatever rocket, or like I said,
skin that smoke wagon and see what happens.
Every time he opens his mouth talking to Billy Bob, it's just like gold.
Yeah.
Every fucking time.
Yeah. I mean, he has two really, really good ones right there in a row. Skin that smoke wagon and see what happens. Then
I know you're
something
scared.
Or just stand there and bleed.
Yeah. Yeah. Then he just drags him out and just looks at the bartender. So what's the deal, Mel? 25% of the pot? Does that sound good?
25% of the house.
Right off the bat, after getting into town too, he goes into the saloon that nobody's going to.
The Oriental is a super nice place.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just what's the deal? It seems like a busy town. Why is it so quiet in here?
Low key, like my favorite part of that that movie is like after the two dudes kill those guys. They end up being like at the end, like, and then like they're like, oh, it was a fair shooting, you know, and you're like, and then the guy's like, what? Is that you? And that's literally me every day at my county fair. Like, if I ever like bring a new person to my county fair, I'm just gonna get stopped there like 10 minutes. And I'm like, how does everyone know you? I'm like, I don't fucking know. It's like Wide Urban Tombs. I'm like, he can't go 2 feet about some asshole being like, oh, by the way, I killed somebody, but also Wyatt, what are you doing here? Like, just like cracks me up every fucking time. Where are you pulling that shotgun, Johnny?
I guess just to touch on it, so it gets touched on, is you get the opening scene where the cowboys roll into the Mexican wedding and to kill everybody, because what is it? I think
what happened was the groom looked at the bride before the ceremony, and you know that's bad luck, and then it just all went to shit.
They said something about the other guys had killed some cowboys or something.
Yeah, it was some sort of revenge thing. And you get the one, the one guy that's go to hell, Johnny Ringo, just replies you first and shoots the dude in the head. And then they grab, is it the priest that does the whole thing in Latin? And
no, they don't grab him. He's still talking shit. And then Ringo just kills him.
Well, like, he does the whole thing in Latin, and you know, there's like, what does he ramble on about? And somebody's like, I don't know, something about a horse, blah blah blah.
Something about a sick horse and blah blah blah. He's like, Johnny Ringo's like, your Spanish is worse than your English.
Yeah. And that's when he hits it's behold the pale horse, the man sent here was death, and hell followed with him, which you obviously get the callback at towards the end of the movie. But you get that, which is it's just a weird, like, I guess it's obviously your introduction to the cowboys, and that they're these rough and tumble revenge. They'll kill people for whatever.
I love this movie, but like 25 minutes could get cut. That's for sure. Part of it.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely parts that don't need to be in there.
I went down and made a drink during the fucking play.
Oh yeah.
I walked downstairs from my movie room, made two drinks, talked to the dog, walked back upstairs, and the play was still happening.
Yeah, like there are definitely parts in the movie that it's just like you don't really, it doesn't actually do much for you. It's just
right. Yeah, I mean, because
the point of the play is like to further his infatuation with Josephine or whatever, but like it's not really needed. Like it's already there. They already said it.
They build on it plenty. You don't necessarily need that. Yeah, I've got, and then after that you build into so you get the whole thing, when they come in. Even when they just first do the, obviously, again, I've seen this movie how many times, but even just the first time they cut to whatever her name is, Wyatt's actual wife. The first time they cut to her, I go, oh, this bitch is just drugged out. She just looks terrible from the get, and I'm,
she's
just
like, is there any pharmacies open? Get some lithium.
Yeah, she's just morphine, or
I am going to touch on this real
quick. Get her, and
So obviously, Wyatt leaves this woman at some point and marries the actress or whatever. And like, and then we're going to touch on this one together. But like at the end, there's like a little quick narration of like what happens to a few people. And they just like kick her in the dick. And they're like, and she died of an overdose shortly after Tombstone. I'm like,
Yeah, shortly after.
Do we fucking need that information? Like, oh, she's been dead for fucking 100 years. Like, does really like just need to kick her while she's down? Like,
no
just...
one's shocked by this and probably could have assumed such things.
Right. I'm surprised she didn't die in the movie.
I'm surprised the narrator didn't. I'm surprised the narrator didn't like pop up and stare at us like in the fourth wall.
I thought...
a terrible person. It's okay. He was like cheated on his wife. She was off. Like, what the fuck?
I thought she was gonna die in Tombstone of just like chugging opium.
I mean, those last like was the milk two scenes.
Are you supposed to chug opium? Because she certainly was.
No, you're not.
Yeah, it's. I mean, you know how like
she hadn't had a bowel movement in weeks.
Does opium not make you shit?
Constipate you?
Does it?
Yeah.
Is this something that people know?
Hydrocodone or oxycontin or whatever. Yeah, it constipates you.
Are you a cop?
No, you have to tell us if you're a cop.
But you gotta tell us. I mean, this is the rules.
Yeah, you asked me. No, I'm not a cop. I just know things.
What is that? Is that chain around your neck? Is that holding a badge underneath that t-shirt? Are you gonna pull up a training day on us?
No chain, buddy.
All right. Well, the more you know.
But no, so, yeah, but actually.
I must have missed opiates, that NBC thing.
Opiates
constant. The more you know. The more you know.
Now, the more you know. Now you learn something today. You can go to bed. Go
the
home.
The more you know, opium makes you not poop.
And that gal was sweating almost more than the guy that was dying from tuberculosis.
Yeah.
All right. So anyways, like, back to where we were originally at, Billy Boston's movie for like 5 minutes of screen time. Owns it all. I love when he shows up with a shotgun and like Doc just stops him. And he's just like, where are you going with that shotgun? And they just start talking. And he's like, Johnny, you still here? Where the fuck is his name?
Yeah.
You can go.
You can go now. Boy, yeah, because he stops because he comes up and he says, oh, Wyatt Earp. And like, that's where he just stops. And he's like, Wyatt Earp.
Oh, I fucked up.
Yeah. Oh, man, this ain't it.
You can leave that shotgun. No. I don't want to take it from you. Just fucking leave it.
Just leave it.
You know, worse than playing with my kids. Like I said, this movie has like just so many people. Sean talked on Johnny Ringo, which is just like it's just so great. And I don't know why Michael, whose last name I can't pronounce, I'll let Jake pronounce it.
I think it's Michael Biehn.
I think it is Michael Biehn. Like, I don't know why he didn't like have a bigger, like, he was in Terminator, he was in Aliens. Like, why did this man not like just have like a 30 year
very good in this movie?
I know him from The Rock. That's I knew him from Terminator and the Aliens, but like from The Rock is like my favorite part where he's in. He's a Navy SEALs guy, you know.
Yeah.
I will not give that order. We got the high ground. I will not. I got to.
Yeah, I didn't dig into. I mean, there's too many damn people, so I didn't dig into all of their like credits and stuff to figure out where I would have known them or where I did recognize them from. But that would be probably where I would recognize him from, mostly.
Sorry, my dog's fighting an invisible thing. So that's always concerning. But yeah, or like Thomas Hayden Church, multi-Oscar nomination dude. Like, and he's just in the shipper, a small part. You know, he's still on Wings, a sitcom from the 90s that neither one of you guys know.
I don't even know where I would tell you I know him from. Like, multiple things.
Spider-Man 3, Spider-Man No Way Home, Sideways.
But no, it wasn't that like I wouldn't know the things he's in. I'm just saying there's probably like five things I could point at and be like, oh yeah, that's where I would recognize him.
Right. From. Oh okay. Yeah, I remember you in that now. Yeah.
George of the Jungle. That's where I first saw him.
I have never seen that, and that makes it insults me.
I guarantee you, that's the first time I ever saw him.
Jesus,
in the George of the
fucking
Jungle.
Christ.
It's a great movie. It's probably not. I haven't seen it probably 20 years.
I don't think Frazier's in that. He also won an Oscar. Not for George of the Jungle.
Say it's a great movie, but I know I've seen it.
No, I.
All right. So speaking of
awful.
So speaking of Thomas Hayden Church, like I said, I watched this movie when I was like 16, 17, all the fucking time. He easily has my favorite quote going back. Ah, the drunk piano player. Before he's seeing double.
And then I got Doc two guns. One for each.
I was gonna say, I think the response to that is better than the than that quote, but
it is, yeah, it is,
but it leads up to
one of my favorite quotes of the movie.
He pulls a knife out and then and then Doc drinks the cup, you know, his, because he's so worried about germs that he has his own goddamn whiskey cup. As he's
don't mind the fact that he's drinking a gallon of whiskey a day.
But no,
that's got to help tuberculosis, right?
I mean,
whiskey kills everything, man.
I mean, that's why I always had a cough in my 20s when I lived in Ames, because I would never stop drinking for an extended period when I got sick. The cough just lingered for like 2.5 months and never went away.
That's good. That's healthy. I mean,
but it never, got worse, did it?
I never got worse. I'm still here, right?
never any further. It's fine.
So speaking of that, let's get to that point. Right? We're on the, let's get our question. Because, you know, we always go in order on the outline. Never out of order. I got two guns.
Always in order.
I'm a man of principle. I have a plan and we stick to the plan. All right. So I have two guns, one for each. What is your guys' favorite quote from this movie? And I know we're going to like miss some and we'll come back to them, but like we can't spend 35 minutes on quotes, Tez. So
we'll get to them at the end. I'll let Tez talk through and figure out what he's going to pick and then we'll go from there.
I mean, I do love the I got two guns, one for each of you. I mean, it's obviously one of the biggest ones, and that'll get probably touched in the GIF section is the just, buddy, I'm your Huckleberry.
I was talking to someone today and who's never seen the movie. I'm like, you have seen the GIFs from this movie.
Yeah. I think probably, if I really had to narrow it down to just one,
like I'm making him pick his favorite child
a little bit. It's just
I love you all individually. You're all perfectly.
It's the, you know, the, should I hate him, darling? And just something about him reminds me of me. I'm sure of it. I hate him. Like, that's just, it's a good one. The way he delivers it and just the whole thing. It's one you can throw out.
I love how like the quotes are gonna be like 85% Doc Holliday and then like 15% other people.
Right.
So I think my favorite has to be like, if I'm picking a favorite, and like Tez said, the I'm your Huckleberry and the like the callback towards the end when he shows up. That has to be it. But I do really enjoy when Kurt Russell, Wyatt Earp finally like loses his shit and he's like, you tell him I'm coming and hell's coming with me.
That one's so good. That's so good.
That's a fantastic quote. And that's one that I had heard obviously multiple times.
But there's a stretch there when I was more famous on Twitter. That's what I would put for Iowa State away games when like, would be like just a outline of the football, how much, and you tell him we're coming and hell's coming with us, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of the better ones that, I mean, I'm your Huckleberry, like everybody that gets used all the time. Forever.
Which apparently like there's some like real like old West meaning behind that I've looked at a few times. I can't tell you right now, but like, it's a distinct fuck you term. It's just not him being cute, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I mean, it's also the callback from earlier of what he does, you know, end up when they're talking about it. Is it's the whole thing of when Johnny's shit faced at 11 in the morning talking about how he's going to murder all of them.
Can we talk about this? All right.
And he wants to finish your thoughts. Yeah. Where he's just, you know, he wants to have the fight and Doc walks out into the street, gets up out of the barber's chair, walks into the street with a gun held behind his back and just, I'll be your Huckleberry.
Right.
Like, and it's just, and right there, and just, you know, obviously at that point, everybody goes, yo, Johnny, get the fuck back. You're going to get shot in the head.
Johnny Ringo. Is like in his emotions or the fact that they killed three cowboys.
Yeah.
Right. When they murdered a fucking wedding procession with a fucking priest, I don't think you get allowed to be sad when your boys get killed when you kill a fucking priest.
Right? Bros before hoes or some shit. You know, I don't know.
He's not a hoe, he's a priest. I don't like Bros Before Padres is a goddamn bumper sticker.
Well, we can workshop it. Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, what's yours? I guess I know you said.
I have not yet to defile myself is high up there because it was on the initial.
Oh, yeah.
We're not that drunk intro. It's our boy Jared Smith's favorite quote. And like, just, I have not yet to defile myself when like they're trying to like shut him down. Doc's been drinking for 36 hours. You got to shut him down. You know what I mean? You know, that's on the list. Are you going to stand there and bleed? But like Jake said, you tell him, Kel's coming with me. Just fury. And to this day, I'm still pissed off. He doesn't kill Ike. He has three separate times to kill that fucking man. And he does not kill him.
Multiple.
A man in an opium fucking den like a horror villain. That's a fucking Jason, like Michael Myers shit. They put a gun in that man's mouth, high as shit, and they blew his brains out. But because Ike throws a sash down, they're like, no, he's good.
But even that is not even, because they have obviously all of the chances, and it's from the get, like, it is made out Ike is the biggest piece of shit in this entire movie. And that's from dudes who are just murdering people in cold blood. This is the biggest piece of shit.
Which is like, crazy that Stephen Lang plays that person. That's wild to me.
I have it in there, you know, just the first time they're in town, and just, it's right after Wyatt takes over the gambling table. Yeah, just loud dog, law don't go around here. Just, yeah, I heard you the first time. Like, get out of here.
He deserves an Oscar for how he pronounces that.
And then, so, yeah,
it's so great.
I have it numerous times. I don't even know where the first one is.
The cop is like, I'm gonna need you to blow in this OWI thing. Whatever.
Sure, they'd love that. Yeah, go ahead and see how that goes for you.
Law don't go around here.
According to the Google,
sir, I'm gonna need you to blow.
According to the Google search that I did, and the first thing I clicked on and skimmed through this article, there was they had like a couple things that were theories or whatever, but a Southern slang usage of Huckleberry was the right person for, like, it was referencing the right person for the job. And in both cases, that would kind of work, right? Like, Johnny Ringo is trying to start shit, but not with him, and he intervenes, and
it's like, pick on your dog.
I'm the guy for you right now. Like, let's go.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, that would be probably what makes the most sense. Obviously, I did extensive research in the 2 minutes that I Googled and clicked on this article.
Have you been drinking tonight? What's it up to you, law dog?
I have numerous notes that I have. Ike Clanton is the biggest piece of shit. Ike Clanton continues to be the biggest piece of shit.
They should have just gotten his head blown apart in that dude's throat in an opium den that was an unnamed character, and Ike Clanton just gets away scot free. Yeah, that man got it worse than anybody, and he's not even a fucking named character.
I will give
the Rocky training montage of murder happens this fucking movie.
He's smoking a barrel of a gun.
Yeah, he didn't shove the pistol in his mouth. He thought it was the fucking opium pipe.
Does that make it better? Smoking it.
No, I just, it's like a ridiculously hilarious thing.
If he shoves it down his throat, if he shoves it in the back of his throat, he still dies, all right?
Shouldn't have been standing there, you know? I don't know what to tell you.
Phrasing. I was getting back in the gunplay.
No, it is though. In to go back, as much of a piece of shit as Ike is, because he is a piece of shit.
He's the worst.
Is he does deliver what is probably my favorite part in the movie. You know, it's right after Curly Bill kills the marshal, and obviously everybody comes out and like, he tries to step up and he's like, let him go. And they put that gun right to his fucking head, to his forehead.
Much on your head, no canoe.
And he goes, your friends might get me in a rush, but not before I turn your head into a fucking canoe.
Yeah, that's a pretty
good line. And you hear somebody off screen just go, oh, he's bluffing, let's get him. He goes, no, he ain't.
No, he's bluffing.
He'll kill me right here, right now.
you tough motherfuckers over like, there, you know.
You can see fear in that dude's eyes when he delivers those lines. It's like, oh, that's really fucking good. And it was... But then it's obviously in all of these things, Ike is the most selfish. He doesn't give a shit about the Cowboys. He's just, he appreciates whatever that gang mentality comes from, because he does the whole gets released from jail.
He's a dude that is in your friend group that when like some that shit starts happened,
the fight and runs away.
Like, right. Or like when you're trying to escalate the fight, he's behind you trying to like just be involved. No, hit him. Shut the fuck up. No, hit him. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, like, he's the dude who's just, who nobody's holding him back, but he's just screaming, hold me back. Like, it's just like, yeah, man, we don't have to do this. Why are we doing this? Like, because, yeah, you have the whole, he gets drunk. They, you know, he brings his guns into town. They take his guns. And then he leaves. He's going to talk shit, and he's just, I'm going to get those fucking Herps, blah, blah, blah. Virgil, you know, just smokes him in the fucking temple when he turns around because he's blackout drunk, and they take him to jail. And then it's that next morning when he gives the whole, you got a fight coming today. Ike delivers that line that turns into the shootout at the OK Corral, and that dude just runs
away. And then he runs away.
All right, let's get to that part. Also, real quick, can you imagine like being blacked out drunk? Obviously, because none of us have ever had that happen.
I could not imagine that.
And then I imagine it's a very terrible hangover, not that any of us can attest, but also adding to it, getting pistol whipped
in the temple, right in the fucking temple. Oh my god,
I imagine that might make the hangover a little worse. All right, so the OK Corral happens, like probably the most famous gunfight in history. And I, as someone who's a history nerd, I have deep dived on this. I've watched all the docs. Everyone says it lasted like 25 seconds.
Well, yeah, it's not going to last minutes.
It's a bunch of dudes with six shooters and two barrel rifles.
Standing across from each other, just shooting each other.
And I'm going to talk about the scene leading up to it. I'm going to talk about the scene, and then I'm going to talk about something that I hate, just so that way you guys can get pissed off me. But only after I fluff the rest of it. I want to know whoever decided to have the flaming building behind them walking. that man needs 100% residential. Like, whatever check the most person gets, he gets double.
Doesn't make any fucking sense.
Every time that scene happens, that man gets 200% of everyone else in the fucking movie. The man is like, maybe we should burn that building behind the four baddest looking motherfuckers on the planet.
Because at first they start like they decide and they start walking and they like walk past the building on fire. And while I was watching it, I was like, why the hell did they just I remember
addressing
like,
that fire.
But I was also, like, why did they just light a building on fire? Like, why is that thing on
they're
fire?
They're trying to put it out, but also rewind that back. Well,
guy with a bucket trying to put it out.
Let's rewind a minute to where like Wyatt's like tells Doc, he's like, you don't have to be involved. And Doc gets pissed. Like, he's just like, the hell, dude, like the hell you're telling me, it hurts my feelings that you're even suggesting that I'm not getting fucking involved. Like, fuck off. I'm here. We're doing this, you know, more or less. He says something much more elegant than I just said.
Well, I need to bring up one thing before we fully dive into this part, is the scene right before we have the whole conversation about going down there about, you know, just they have their guns in town. It's a misdemeanor. We don't have to do this. Right before that is, the actual doctor talking to Doc about
his
tuberculosis.
60% lungs are gone, right?
Well, I just want to bring up the very last part right before it fades.
I know where you're going with this.
Do you think it really worked to say to his girlfriend, fiance, wife, whatever it is, then again, you may be the Antichrist as she starts going down on him? Did you think that was a turn?
Jesus Christ.
All right, laughed.
We're going to rewind a second. The fact that she hears what the doctor says and she walks in there and lights a cigarette.
Yeah, but they didn't know.
Yeah,
man literally said his lungs are... Anyways.
Yeah, but they didn't know that smoking was
gonna
bad.
Are we going to kink shame him calling her the Antichrist? Because, you know, we
were... No, do what you got to do. He's a dying man. I don't care. Like,
I laughed.
She walked there smoking a cigarette after the man said he was dying. I think she's probably into the evil shit. No king shaming.
But you're applying modern context to smoking.
Yeah, she also got turned on by. You think
she fucking blew smoke
stuff,
rings on like... the goddamn cock, or what are we talking about?
You're applying negative connotation to smoking.
I'm not being negative anything. All right, well, sure, that's fine.
Yeah, that's what you're saying. Yeah. They had zero fucking idea that smoking was bad for you. Just like they all drank like fish, they smoked all the time too. They had
drinking like a fish.
What's not the most great thing for health?
Well, you say. I mean, you're a doctor.
You're applying smoking like modern smoking health context to something that they had
surgeon general putting out warnings like if, in the 1880s.
Like back then, if tuberculosis was a liver disease, like they wouldn't stop drinking. They didn't fucking know.
I'm glad that him and Kate had a lot of fun.
Sorry to sidetrack that.
The doctor also told them they shouldn't be doing anything. Like you miracle.
You could also be the Antichrist. So
yeah,
great.
Some people.
And then it fades immediately back into an equal rights for equal pay protest wagon.
Jesus full Christ. Of women.
Which I don't think I had ever caught before. That was an interesting thing to throw in the movie.
So are we assuming that Doc did not go into that gunfight with Blue Balls? Is that what we're saying?
Next.
I don't know. It's mean.
Anyway,
to get into it.
Oh, God.
I'm going to say, no, he didn't, because the way he winked to throw the whole thing into motion seemed pretty smooth. Like, I don't think there was pent-up aggression.
You're saying that wink was post-nut clarity?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think it was a frustration wink. I think that dude had the world in front of him.
All right, back to the fire on the building.
Are we sure we don't want to continue with smoke rings on his cock after?
Jesus
Christ, guys.
There's quite a fire between Doc and Kate. Anyways.
Man.
The scene of them walking with the fire behind them is just... It was my... All right, to show how old I am. It was my fucking wallpaper or my computer screensaver. Mm. When I had like a desktop at my parents' house with fucking the dial. That was them just standing in front of it. Like just...
It's a sweet shot that takes, literally nothing to do, but it looks incredible. They did phenomenal.
Someone had to suggest it. And the fact that there's three directors in this movie, I wonder who said it. I want to know if it was in the screenplay
It was a great idea, but like, let's not pretend like this is a new thing. It was just somebody was like, oh, you know what we should do while we have them walk down the street? We're going to have fire behind them.
Right.
Cool guys don't look at explosions.
I bet there was a take where they just walked down where there was a frame of a building behind
them.
I
watched that entire 6-minute credit sequence of them just walking like badasses.
Yeah, and they probably just watched it back and they probably just went, what if we just light that building on fire?
What if, you know, cool guys don't look at explosions and we just have fire behind them?
I mean, this was 1993, but also like the Wild Bunch had the first like Western walk. All right. They walk down there. They look like fucking immortal. Like what's he say later on? Like the last rite of Wyatt Earp and his immortals. They look just badasses. They go down there. Doc winks at the guy. And this is where I piss everybody off. Doc has three shots of that shotgun. It's so obvious.
If you really want to dive into it, there's a...
I was not counting.
There is
shots.
No dive into it. It is. He shoots.
It's not only him. There's a handful of them. I think Wyatt takes like nine shots out of six.
Bill has 85 shots.
Yeah,
don't the goddamn street. Yeah.
Don't start counting shots out of guns because
I understand.
Guarantee they're not accurate.
I know, but like, it's so terrible in that part because Doc shoots up to get the horse up, shoots the guy, then shoots another guy like in like 10 seconds.
Yeah, and then you have...
I mean, I think he also shoots about 20 rounds out of his revolvers into the building. So.
I have never once in my entire life,
right,
until tonight, counted how many shots Curly Bill shoots before he kills the marshal. But it's like 28.
It's a lot. Yeah, it's
when he's all high on opium.
Because, if you're listening when he's shooting off camera, you know, when they cut inside and they're in the I guess what the county, the sheriff's just like, is anybody going to do anything about this? He's just unloading bullets into the sky. You know, every second or two for 30 seconds at least.
Which is fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's like, but the dog thing always gets me.
My biggest issue.
Okay. Let's get into
with the shootout at the OK Corral. Is we get done with it, and it's, you know, there's the photography parlor where the little actress is having her photos done next door.
It's his fucking future wife.
No, I get that. I don't understand how she's just had two people in there shooting out the window with numerous people, with Doc Holliday shooting 45 rounds into the building
she was just in.
And then she comes running out of that building to, what is it, 5-6 dead bodies? Morgan shot in the shoulder,
right?
It's at least four. But there's just dead bodies, and she just has this big, glorious smile like, oh my God, you're my hero. You've murdered these men in an alleyway. And he's just like, oh yeah, I'm so humble. I'm Wyatt Earp. And it's just like, what the fuck is going on here? Yeah.
You know what I thought was goofy about her in that scene was, so Ike runs in there and shots are just getting blasted into that
building. She doesn't move. She's standing
Standing straight up against the wall, the back wall. And I'm like, why are you not curled up into a ball on the floor behind that sofa or whatever that's in front of you? Like,
and
what
then are you find doing? Out clearly there was a back door you could have run out.
and then she runs out of the back door after the shooting stopped. But yeah, her just standing there, I was like, why are you, what? You would not just be standing there. It's a good way to get shot.
And nobody had a bullet left to shoot the guy that was going to shoot Doc Holliday except for Morgan, who got shot and had to barely
Doc shot him. Doc shot him too. Doc is just fucking around. Doc wants to die. Well, Doc shoots him, then Morgan shoots him because Doc was waiting to die because Doc had a death wish.
Well, Doc knew he was dying.
Right. So what is something from this movie, looking at Jake hard, that you did not realize was from this movie? Is there anything?
No, I don't think so, honestly. Like I said, it's been so ingrained in like pop culture and referenced so much and stuff like that, that I don't think there was anything that jumped out where I was like, oh my God, I didn't realize that was from Tombstone.
Right.
Yeah. I think on that point, it's basically like, if you're familiar with the idea of Tombstone, you know the stuff that's from Tombstone. Like, it's not hidden.
Okay.
I definitely know, but the well by gif.
That's where I was going.
That one you probably could have got me on before watching the movie, actually.
I'm gonna tell you, that's the one that I forget from this movie. Like, all the fucking time, because like, it's such a zoomed in gif,
yeah,
that you forget that's where it's from. Like,
yeah, looking through my notes, that one you probably could have like asked me, and I would.
Well, let's talk about this. So this movie has at least three famous gifs. At least you have the well by,
yeah,
I'm your Huckleberry, and him winking. Is there any I'm missing?
I mean, you can probably find some other ones if you search for them, but as far as ones that I see that get used,
Hell's Come With Me is more of a meme, I think, and even then, that's a stretch.
Yeah, as far as actual like gifts, I don't know that there's any specifically that are big anyway. Yeah, I would say anything. A lot of the other stuff is like, for me personally, it's just quotes that like I'll throw out where people look at me like I'm a weirdo because they don't know every line in Tombstone, which I understand.
Maybe they're the weirdos.
but I mean, it's some of that stuff where like I said, on that note, it's just after when they do the shootout at the end with Johnny Ringo and Doc Holliday, and after after he gets him, you know, just square in the forehead.
I forgot that part. Like, I knew it happened. Like, I realized how close they were.
Oh yeah,
like, they're on top.
They are 3 feet apart.
Because in my head, mostly I stopped watching this movie after the train scene. Like, I've seen it so many times. Like, that's it peaks there, and then there's still somehow 30 minutes left. Okay.
But that's where, like in certain situations, like obviously even watching sports or something, if there's just anybody named Johnny ever, I will just start screaming, come on, Johnny.
All right. Well, I'm pretty sure that's from fucking Little Giants. But anyway, all right. Speaking of sports, I had this analogy in my head, metaphor in my head, and I got to get out. I'm going to mad at myself. So they go on the Rocky montage murder spree.
Yeah.
And they kill everybody horribly. So then they get to this creek and they're pinned in, and Wyatt just walks out of a shotgun
screaming.
They're pinned down and gonna die essentially
from both sides.
Yeah. Like they're pins, whatever. They got guys on both sides.
And this happened. This thing is a factual event that he walked out there in that creek and killed like four people and did not get hit. Is that how Patrick Mahomes feels when there's like a minute and a half left? Is that like how he's like,
no, Patrick Mahomes is leading a game-winning drive. They're down. He just, no.
Buying Kelsey on 4th and 10 for 12 yards.
That's hilarious.
No!
It's a hilarious analogy.
He's just like, is that how he, Patrick Mahomes, like, I'm invincible. I'm not losing. I'm not getting, he doesn't even get hit.
That's certainly the same kind of,
it's got to be that level. Same of kind of
immortal, unbeatable vibe. That's for sure.
Just like he walks out there by a shotgun, and Curly Bill shoots like four times, and misses him, and he just like pulls that shotgun up and just blast him, one in the chest, one in the face.
I was gonna say, who do you think's the more accurate shooter in history? Do you think it's Steph Curry, or do you think it's Wyatt Earp on horseback, one-handed shooting a rifle?
Oh, dude, the side ride.
Sometimes blind side riding under.
I thought that was Doc.
No, that was Wyatt Earp.
A side ride, no look. Reach underneath the horse's
neck with the revolver. Just blast and domes.
Also, I don't know what the fuck Yondu, Michael Rooker's character's name in this movie is, but like he gets the award for like making it through like 85% of the movie. And like, oh, we need one more death. We need one more death to piss the heroes off. Oh, yeah. How about Yondu?
McMasters is what they refer to him as. Yeah. It's his last name.
Yeah, and he's the body they drag. Yeah. The body they dragged back.
Sherman McMasters was that character's name, but they call him McMasters multiple times.
So, rest in peace, Yondu. I may not be your daddy, but I'm your father. No way, I said that backwards. But yeah, like just like him walking on that creek, just like just the nuts on that situation. Like
that's also, so I understand that event happened in some way like that, but that's one of those events that happened but becomes like mythical, like legend that is surely not exaggerated at all.
Right.
Like, Jake's like getting out to his door and like, I'm gonna need to see that shit. I'm not gonna touch anything. I'm just gonna like be up there on the hill with my binoculars.
But yeah, it's some
like
of that
I'm sure that happened in a way that was still ridiculous, but him just getting up and screaming no and walking out into the middle of the river and just like blasting guys and not missing shots.
That's how I am when someone hand me a goddamn shot of fucking Dr. McGillicuddy's. Like, no. You want some supplements? No.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a fantastic
the same
like,
point is
immortal it, like Wyatt Earp legend scene, right?
There's a chance. In some level it happens because again it's the 1880s, 1890s.
Can we discuss his shirts? When can we discuss his shirts? Where like it's clear like from his nipples down to his belly button, but it's not clear like the white shirts he wears.
Well, it's not just the shirt. There's like a thing that. But there's like another piece. It's not just the shirt by itself.
I think it's one piece of shirt.
No, there's multiple things.
Either way, it doesn't look.
You've never seen the cartoon thing where like the guy's like tucks the insert like flips up and like hits him in the face.
So the clear thing that we can see his chest is something different.
The V that's like his chest is another part. Yeah.
There's basically a filler that's supposed to be
so that you don't see through the shirt if you have a jacket on.
If you have a jacket or a vest on or something.
Take your word for
it. And then the rest of it is a light breathing shirt.
It's an old school, like it's a filler thing for suits.
Okay. What was your guys' least favorite part of this movie? I'm not sure this movie has one, but
the horse riding part, I don't need it. Kick it out. I'm done with it. I'm so sick of that.
The horny horses?
Yeah. I walked away. Yeah.
Or the 10-minute play in which I made a drink during.
Well, that's what I would say is like there isn't a part of the movie that
I do not care about that love story.
Yeah.
I just don't care.
The parts of the movie that are good or should be in the movie there isn't any of those that I'm like, no, that's bad. It's the parts where you could take out 15, 20 minutes that I'm like, those suck. Why are they there?
I did read something that like basically the actress's name, whoever he married later, the second woman,
Josephine,
like made her like life's work to like basically erase the other one. Cause she like thought like it dismerged him. Basically,
besmirched.
Yeah, I mean, well, even in the movie itself, if it weren't for Ike Clanton, she's the worst human being in this movie,
and like, she overacts a lot, and that's fine. I can't tell if that's a choice or if that's
I just mostly ignored her character.
That's sexist.
Why?
It's just
I don't know. I'm just getting any shit.
If I ignored all the women characters, then it's sexist. I feel like, but. I thought her character was gonna die. Like she was, I didn't.
Well, she
think
did.
She really. Well, I meant like in Tombstone. I thought she was gonna die at some point.
Oh, like Josephine is also like basically being like, I don't give a shit that you're married. Let's just fucking, you know, like
she never cared. She was immediate. I mean, it's literally from the moment she sees it. What is it? She says, "That's I want one, or I need to have one, or something like that." Says,
I did like when she was like, I don't give a shit. Like, he's like, I don't have any money on anything else. Like,
yeah, what's okay. My family's rich.
Yeah, did she say that?
She reveals at that last scene when they dance or before they dance. She's like, dude, she's like, it's okay. My family's loaded.
Well, that makes it less
fine. My family's rich.
Oh, that makes it less sweet. That sucks.
I thought it was like kind of funny where it's like, oh, like he didn't need to know.
Yeah,
that.
But I like and the idea like, that
now
like
they can just do whatever the hell they want because they're together. Oh.
And he just murders people for fun. So,
dude, like, it's buddy. Just... All right. So, how I my TikTok every now and then is like things you don't realize happen, like your idea of time or whatever. Him dying in 1929, were you two like, what the fuck?
Not only him dying, living to the 1920s. But this, when it first started, if you would have asked me when in the 1800s it was, I would have guessed a lot earlier in the 1800s, not later.
Well, he's got to do anything at the Old West is after the Civil War.
Yeah, and that's probably what like
yeah,
I don't have
extent.
Straight in my head. But that I mean, I'm shocked every anytime you that gets referenced that it's like the late 1800s.
Well, I mean, like I think the Lincoln County Wars of Bill the Kid are like 1889 and shit. Like it's wild.
Yeah, I'm not saying that's like anything's wrong. It's just in my brain that isn't how it goes.
Especially West Coast, like obviously it's all trying to time frame it in your mind, which obviously doesn't always work the best. Like, because I
me and time, it doesn't ever work the best.
I always sort of default to like, you know, it's just the 49ers, the California Gold Rush, like 1850s, like that's where we're sitting on a lot of that. It's, you know, Arizona probably outside of that more when it expands, but at that point I'm like, I don't know, 1860, like I'm not, if you would have just blind guessed me, if I would have blind guessed at some point, like just
when I don't even know
I
when this
said
is...
it's like 1889
1890. Yeah, it was like the
80s. Really? I was like 1873. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. So like, and that's the sort of stuff where just
he was born in Iowa, also, which is kind of cool.
It's a lot of that stuff that time frame, kind of 1880s to like.
Yeah, he was born in 1848.
is. So,
I mean, right. Just giving him 80, if you call 80, it, if you call him 40 years old. I mean, that's late 1800s. That's
18, so he was like 91, 89 around there when he died.
He would have been a 981. Yeah.
That's wild.
Which is really old for a guy that fucking lived like that. For
but also, I guess, like, he had 20 years of like Western movies being made about his life. That's wild. Yeah. Like, imagine like
that was kind of what I thought too. When they said that at the end, I was like, damn, that guy like got to live through his like,
he survived
legend too. Like,
he lived through WW1
movies about
yeah.
him. Like,
give me a fucking detective movie when he's like 60 in like 1912 in LA. And I'll fucking eat that shit up.
Yeah.
Like, give me Wyatt Earp. Give me Wyatt Earp at 60 in like LA, like just fucking investigating something. And that's in my veins.
Well, he
fucking now.
I think it's pretty, in my opinion, the fact that he lived that long and didn't really have anything else, at least, I mean, maybe if I read his
Wikipedia. Well, that's the dream, right, man?
But like, he literally just did like, go live his life and like do nothing else but live his life at that point, apparently.
Which is the dream.
Yeah.
If you want to do some weird timeline crossings
just
of how things happen in the space of time.
Okay.
We can do that to wrap up, kind of start wrapping up. I guess.
Have we gone through the diagram?
We have.
Are we through it? It's,
I think
I think we hit most everything. Yeah.
And then the age well thing, but I have no idea.
No, he can't do that. I mean, it's
the shootout at the OK Corral happened.
Don't
the day after Pablo Picasso was born,
dude. Oh, that, yeah. Man, that man.
There's some of those like historical like artists or like significant like people that are in the arts that really throw me off when like somebody tells me like what their actual life timeline was and when it was,
or like when like Cleopatra is actually alive always fucks with me. Because, like, it's pretty damn recent.
It's not as long ago as you think, yeah.
There's yeah. a lot of, there's, relatively, like, the, yeah. the, when, I don't know, like, the, when the Ottoman Empire was and when it finally went, there's a lot of that stuff that throws me off. But.
All right. So, Sean, what quotes we missed? Pull the notebook out.
Let's see.
You know, pull that fucking flesh wagon or the fucking...
We've got the, I know someone, I think, replied to the poll on it, but the Doc Holliday, the I'm in my prime, and Johnny Ringo just, yeah, you look it.
But I use it all the goddamn time.
And then...
I'm currently pretty much involved with someone that's making fun about how I'm not in my prime.
And then just, not a quote, but just when Johnny does the whole, you know, pulls the gun and does the whole gun flip, you know, show.
Oh my god, it's so good with the cup.
Does it with the cup.
I said, we have not talked about that shit. Oh my god, like
it's so
like,
good.
It's such a like fuck you move, like whatever.
And I love how like Curly Bill is just like, no, he wins.
It's
we're not
it's
getting
a,
involved.
Yeah, it's
oh
it's
yeah, a, Curly Bill just puts a hand on his chest and he goes, "All right, man, we got to go."
It's a it's a fuck you while completely winning while also. Basically just completely defusing the situation.
Right.
De-escalating not like a direct fuck.
Or the part where like they're playing poker early on and like he puts a gun on the table. I couldn't just handle you're not my friend anymore. You know, like how about I put these guns down? We can be friends again. You know, like and I also love when it's so obvious he's cheating because they're playing five card stud. And just fucking Ike says and Ike is like he won 12 cards and hands in a row, that cannot happen.
Well, it can.
It's just very.
It's just like
improbable.
Never. Yeah, it's completely improbable that it would ever happen.
Unless they're counting bluffs, but either way, even though if they're
no,
like,
yeah, no, it's it would never. It would basically never happen.
I'm not defending Ike, ever.
Yeah, I guess to follow that up, my next one is from the shootout at the Corral where Ike runs up and grabs Wyatt. And apparently this is like an actual thing that happened is he runs up to Wyatt and grabs him. And he just straight up told him, like, get the fighting or get away from me.
Get away. Yeah, get out of here.
And then it's really not a – it's it's not obviously a good quote, but it's the one that sticks out to me every time after they shoot Morgan in the back and they're trying to pull that bullet out. It's just every time I will just scream, will somebody shut that dog up? I think he says it two or three times.
Yeah.
And then when Morgan's dying, he does the remember what they say about seeing a light before you die. That ain't true. I can't see a damn thing.
That one hurts.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it's what they shoot the one guy at the train station. Just you call down the thunder. Well, you now you got it.
The whole part's so good.
And then, yeah, then right after that.
And the older Earp is like just waving at him. And he's like, I'm going to fucking murder them all.
Then it's just I think after that all I've got's the shootout between Johnny Ringo and Doc Holliday. You know, I didn't think you had it in you. I'm here, Huckleberry, and then just why Johnny Ringo? You look like someone just walked on your grave.
Oh my god, so great. Just a fuck you moment. I just
we started a game we never got to finish, play for blood, remember? And just I was just fooling, just I wasn't.
Right, man.
Just Doc Holliday in that last scene, and just when he's just like, "Yeah, man, I'm here to settle a score for everybody. We're ending this here and now. It's either I'm dying or I'm ending this whole thing."
So before we get to like my world famous catchphrase that we end the podcast, that everyone here is waiting on. Should Val Kilmer have been a bigger star? I understand I'm asking you guys, Jake, who was born when he was like. Not like he's Indian being a star, and Sean's a little bit older. Like, so besides this role, I'm just gonna ask Jake, who's the baby, who's the youth. What else do you know him from?
I mean, it's Heat and Top Gun, right? But other than that, I don't know. I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I mean, I have his IMDb open.
Yeah, stretched there in like the late 90s of like he was in Spartan and the Salton Sea, which were like just us being drunk assholes watching movies that he was in.
Spartan was 04, the Salton Sea was 02.
This all tracks of my age.
I'm trying to find
anything. Hollywood Land was when he he's one where he played John Morris in he was in The Doors.
The Doors, yeah.
And there's also one where like he played like one of the most famous porn stars of all time. Also in that one. But like he never got there, right? He's like the ultimate like Moises Alou, like just like a fucking great hitter. That like just couldn't become the hitter, right?
Yeah, and I don't know if there's stories out there that are just like if maybe you know there were movies that wanted him to maybe be the lead guy, but you get into just auditions and and he just didn't come through on it.
Sometimes I wonder too, like we don't know when it comes to maybe he just didn't really want to try that hard and he was fine with just taking like small roles and taking bits and pieces here and there and not like having to super commit himself and just taking his
residuals
on what he on you know like this and Heat and Batman Forever and whatever like the stuff he had already done. I mean Val Kilmer for me is not like there just wasn't a lot after I really started watching like a lot, you know, a good amount of movies that he ever did. I don't even know what it would be, but when I watch him in these movies, I'm very surprised that he did not do more. Let's put it that way, which I think is what the point of what Ted's saying. Like,
yeah, I'm for sure.
Shocked that he didn't become a bigger star and do a lot more bigger movies later on, but maybe he just didn't
definitely. Yeah, there's definitely things that he is obviously very good in. Like, he is very good in this. He's obviously great in Top Gun. He's, you know, he has a run of that stuff in the 90s. Yeah, and even late 2000 or early 2000s where he's pretty solid. But yeah, I don't know if he just wasn't interested in stepping into those sort of roles or if like
do you have an answer, Ted, or what you think about it, or were you just wondering what we thought about it?
I mean, Heat's up there. I mean, Top Secret is a fucking great movie I've seen in a while, like Top Gun.
Sure, but so maybe he just didn't want to do, like, really push that.
I just don't know. I think he tried, man. You know, I mean, you don't become Batman. You don't see you're gonna be Batman and not
right.
But
I don't know if was that maybe something that
you're asking me my favorite like Val Kilmer movie. It's Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
And no. We the question you asked was should he have been a bigger star?
I just think it's like, you know,
and that's why I said maybe he just didn't want to try that hard because like Batman Forever was 95.
And I wonder because obviously like.
Well, look at the early 90s, man.
To this day, when people talk about it, a lot of people rag on that movie and him as, the worst Batman ever.
Just think of the early 90s. Like,
that probably had to fucking suck for him, and maybe he just didn't want to deal with that.
I don't want to like pull a Jordan thing, but like look at the early 90s. Mel Gibson, Kevin Costner.
Oh, like, it's loaded. I mean,
Tom Hanks.
Yeah. Bruce Willis, like, there's just a ton, Bruce Willis, ton of dudes.
I mean, I love my man Bruce, but, like, Tom Hanks, Kevin Costner, right there, they're the top. And they're taking everything. Mel Gibson. Look at Tom Hanks' early 90s. Forrest Gump, Philadelphia,
right, Cast Away. But these movies are in the, like, his bigger movies that you guys have referenced are in that same time, and he should.
That's what I'm saying, like, he can't be the top guy when those other guys are just
no, but this fresh. Is when this the time frame you're talking about is when he's doing these movies. So what I'm saying is why wouldn't he have done them later if he wanted to, or like continued to do it later if he wanted
he got burnt out, man.
That's what I'm saying, Ted, is like maybe he just didn't want to.
Yeah, I don't think it was necessarily like a Hollywood or the business downplayed him. I just don't know that he was always super interested in doing all of that. Like
that's what I would assume. Cause like, I think
he was just fine doing the stuff he was doing and like living comfortably. I don't know that he wanted to be
all right, and
Hollywood like, superstar making
because he's still
giant blockbusters a year, you know, trying to.
And well, he's not dead yet, right? He did Top Gun, and that's where he should end it because Top Gun Maverick is like, I cry. I love fucking Top Gun Maverick. I'll go to bat that movie. That movie's so good. It's like it might be the perfect like, it's the best drunk movie in the last 10 years. You can just toss it on at 2 a.m. and just pick a spot.
It is, yeah. It's a very good movie for
any spot.
What you want. For what you want Top Gun to be, if the sequel to Top Gun 30 years after
if
it was
cable
made,
was a thing, that movie would be making so much money. Like, just
I want to watch. Already made a bunch of money.
I know, I made a billion, but like, you want to watch the part where he does the thing in 2 minutes and 15 seconds? I'm in. When like John Hamm's like, we're shutting it down, anyways. All right, we're done. Tombstone was amazing. I think we're done with the quotes, Sean.
Yeah, I don't have anything left in mind.
We're gonna mark it down when we come back in early May. We're gonna discuss Pulp Fiction, which is on our next list. I'm holding Jake responsible to this that Pulp Fiction is our next movie. He stares at me.
I'm reading something. Don't put it on me. I brought it up that it was supposed to be this.
Yeah,
one.
But then
we
decided
something shorter. So.
Don't act like
this responsibility is something that I failed on and why we didn't record Pulp Fiction for this.
Well, now you would fail. Anyway, so I am Ted Flint, Jake Voss, Sean Sessman. Until next time, back to movies. Did I say I had something?
You definitely did.
It's in the kitchen. It's by the microwave. It's there on a post-it note. It's really fucking witty, too. Like, I'm talking like I'm going to get an award in the podcast community. But so next time, whatever the fuck is on that post-it note on my microwave next to the McChicken that I'm going to heat up later. Because that's the best thing to heat up later. everyone enjoy your nights. We'll be back to watch Pulp Fiction, maybe. Later, guys.
All right. Peace out.